Hope you're having a great Friday. We're live at the Gateway Center. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, hanging out. Ken Carmen's going to join us from 92.3 The Fan up in Cleveland. He also does stuff for Fox up there. Locked in to the Brown situation. And the reason why we want to talk to Ken is because Stefanski continues to be mentioned.
Do you know something you're not letting on?
I would never tell.
You always seem to have some secret source.
I would never tell.
I've got no sources. I don't know if I'll be able to get anything out of George Godsey about tech. Probably not.
Yeah,
but I don't really have a lot. You got infinite sources. I don't have a lot of sources. I mean, I had sources in NASCAR, but who cares now? Right? That nobody even watches.
Well, they're going back to the old system.
The old playoff format.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, we'll see.
I will say this. I just feel like where there's smoke, a lot of times there's fire. And I will also tell you, to Mike's point, and look, this is one of the reasons why we hope you listen to us. We're not going to tell you any BS about these situations when they come about. Any coaching situation in our city, GM, whatever it might be. But I will tell you, it is very hard, okay, to get people in the mix to give up anything. Because teams are so afraid that these deals will fall through. That if somehow it gets out, okay, and I'll give you an example, the Harbaugh situation with the Giants. Mike, immediately, you know, when they're pursuing him and right. You know, the owner's son goes to have lunch with Harbaugh, you know, it's like, okay, how much information is getting out there? And we knew that they were interested.
Right.
But the Giants didn't want anybody interrupting this process of them selling him. And so the Falcons' interest level in some of these candidates, I do know, is higher than others. But to tell you definitively right now that this guy has the job, I cannot. And I don't think anybody can. But they're front runners. There are guys they like more than others. And that part is why I keep continuing to say, Stefanski. But it doesn't mean he gets the job.
And if nothing else, Harbaugh, you cheated yourself out of at least one fine dining experience with Arthur Blank.
This is true.
Because if you don't know, they went to – I want to say it's in East Rutherford, but it's called Ilya. And the Giants kind of hang out there. That's the spot where they took Harbaugh and it made it to New York Post. Somebody got a spy report. And then eventually the photo got released of Shane and everybody hanging out.
Were they the only ones there?
Yeah. No, they were in the restaurant. But it was kind of, you know. Remember the Sopranos when Mangini was actually coaching the Jets?
That's right.
Sopranos like, hey, Mangini. Yeah, that lasted about 1 minute. But anyway, yeah, because you come to Arthur Blank, there's a million restaurants Arthur could have taken. Generally, it always seems to be a steakhouse, like, you know, Chops or Bones. But, yeah, anyway, Harbaugh, you missed out. It's still not done. People still trying to make something out of it.
Nothing.
I don't think there's anything to make of that. They're just finishing up the contract.
No, yeah, that's I was getting that today. What if he changes his mind, Dukes? He's not.
No, there's no reversal on that.
No, and the reason why is because all of the things that he needed to hear from the organization about vision and where they are and what they want to do has been said. Now it's just about the legalities, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
You know what the legalities are? If I get got, how much you paying me on the way out?
Right.
That's it.
Is this a fully guaranteed contract?
Yes. So, with that said, man, we got to get to 4th and 1. So let's talk about what's going on with the playoffs. First and foremost, this affects this weekend's games. I want you to hear Adam Schefter talk about Sam Darnold. He's been added to the injury report. Now, again, we can say, well, whoop-de-doo, he's going to play, right? He says he's going to play. Mike and I have said, if you're watching this game this weekend, and we know you are because this is the only thing we care about at the NFL playoffs this weekend heading into the national championship game on Monday, if he starts to have issues throwing the ball, or Mike, he throws a couple of early picks, and you go, what's Sam Darnold doing? It may be this oblique situation that he has going on. Here's Schefter, and then we'll discuss. Here's Adam Schefter.
Moments ago, Sam Darnold met with reporters in Seattle, and he told them that he felt something in his oblique today, went inside to get treatment and rehab, didn't feel like it was the time to push it today, and said he does expect to play Saturday night versus the 49ers. However, again, when he felt that, he went inside the training room, called it a day, doesn't think it'll be an issue Saturday night, but that'll be something that everybody will be paying attention to when these two teams square off on Saturday night in Seattle.
Yeah, and or if you can, find that audio I was talking about to Carl earlier today, Clint Kubiak. It's out there, him talking about the work, Drew Locke. Imagine you got to put Drew Locke in this friggin' game.
I don't like to.
Now, they went down there and completely stymied San Francisco, and Kittle, went out of the game, and that was all she wrote. But, man, you got to have more than basic quarterback play. You're going to have to make some plays in this game.
Well, their defense is too good for you not to, right? Like
the 49ers still have a plan.
Yes, I still feel like – and here's the thing about the Sam Darnold injury, or at least perceived injury. We don't know, again, the severity of it. All it takes is one hit. One hit, and that could change this game, right? So that's the other part of it. Maybe it's sore right now, or he can't do certain things, but all it takes is one of those hits, Mike, and all of a sudden you see him grimacing. So I'm definitely curious to see how that shakes out. Now, if he balls out, everybody say, "Oh, the oblique was a facade. He was joking with us. You know, it wasn't a big deal." Meanwhile, as we talk about Josh Allen,
and by the way, in the old days you keep that quiet.
Absolutely, you don't say anything.
The old pre-Belichick, right? Sandbagging.
You don't say anything. Like, hey, what's going on with the quarterback? Oh, I just needed some treatment. I'm not letting that out. Either way, I asked our buddy B-Mac, Brian McFadden, about Josh Allen. Mike, they call him Superman. He's got to put the Superman cape on this weekend against this Denver Broncos defense. But as B-Mac said, he's going with the Broncos, but he's not the only one. Listen to Stephen A. Smith.
Josh Allen is a stud. He's a bad brother. But here's the point that I'm making to you. Not only are the Buffalo Bills not that formidable offensively in terms of the talent around Josh Allen, you going to Denver.
Right.
You going to the Mile High City. You going to play in that altitude.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, I got to take all of that into consideration. And to not have them as the favorite and to just automatically dismiss them because of Josh Allen, I think I got mad love for Josh Allen. But his season ends Saturday night.
Well, that means that Joe Brady ain't going to get a job as a head coach somewhere. And I'm not a big fan. I thought he was better at times. You know, my beef is always get Cook involved, man.
Yep.
And they're going to have to, as you know, we heard earlier, it's a good point about all the injuries they've had at wide receiver. They don't really have playmakers at wide receiver like you need.
They're not average dudes.
Right. I mean, how many, who they got, who's emerged now as the big wide receiver? They just picked him up as a free agent. It was hold on, I'll look it up. I just talked about it. But no, they've got so many guys that are just like, you know, meh at wide receiver. Hold on. I'll find it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, Brandon Cooks.
Oh, yes.
Brandon Cooks went on 18 teams.
Yes.
He's been on half the NFL, man.
Yes.
For crying out loud. Sorry about that one. Brain dead on you. But yeah, I'm looking right now. You got as far as receiving, yeah, Shakir, Cooks. You know, I mean, it's nothing impressive. It's not. So, Denver with the defense. The question, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to bet the under in that game. That's one of my picks.
And that's a good pick. I'm not even going to front. Denver's legit. Defensively, guys, their defense has kept them in every game. They've been in a bunch of one-score games. We're going to break down the picks coming up a little bit later on this hour. And as we're talking about the NFL, and we'll tell you who the Falcons have interviewed as well, 4th and 1 is brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Let me hear Howie Roseman, Mike, because he's talking as if they're not going to trade A.J. Brown. And I'm saying you should be trading A.J. Brown. He was asked this question yesterday.
We talked about this, I think, at the trade deadline last time I talked. It is hard to find great players in the NFL, and A.J. is a great player. I think from my perspective, that's what we're going out and looking for when we go out here in free agency in the draft, is trying to find great players who love football, and he's that guy. So I think that would be my answer.
Antonio Brown was a better player when the Steelers got rid of him than A.J. Brown is right now for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow.
He was more productive. He put up bigger numbers,
right,
and he had a bigger impact on the offense. You got to trade A.J. Brown. This idea about great players, he's right. But the Steelers, when they traded him,
right,
everybody said, oh, my God, they're going to lose all this production. Okay, but this is a headache. We can't continue down this road. And if you ask me right now, like, hey, the production level of an A.J. Brown, guys, he's not even the best wide receiver in the league right now. That's Njigba. He's not even close.
Right.
So I don't understand what Howie's talking about. And look, I think he's one of the best GMs in the league, Mike. But like, really, you're going to put it on? Well, great players, forget that.
No, I mean, look, A.J. Brown had bellyache for 2 seasons about getting the rock, and then of course, eventually, when they got the lead on Kansas City, no pressure, and Jalen Hurts made some beautiful throws. And unfortunately, I mean, just you had the 2-score lead, you're making these beautiful like 80-yard NFL Films moments, right?
That's right.
But you know, when it mattered this season, I got to be honest, that A.J. Brown was horrible. He, I mean, you've the ball hit your finger. lay out? You're incapable of laying out? I mean, that ball, Jalen Hurts put two balls right on his hands.
He did.
And he didn't make the play, man. So, look, I get it. They have underutilized you, but that doesn't mean when it's crunch time, you got to deliver. I'm curious to see, what are they going to get from a third rounder?
Maybe.
What's the mark? You don't get first rounders for guys like that.
No.
Not even close.
No, not at all. Hey, man, one other thing we want to mention. The Falcons, Mike, and want to get your thoughts. They have interviewed Antonio Pierce for the head coaching job. We mentioned this yesterday that he was scheduled to interview this week. Okay, it's Friday. They went ahead and knocked that out and talked to Antonio Pierce. Percentage-wise, you like him?
I like the guy. I mean, he's balls-to-the-wall linebacker for the Giants, tough as nails. Kind of what we associate Tomlin with, accountability, tough. Whatever happened with the Raiders, he took over and made a team look pretty good. And then the second season, I don't know if power went to his head or he just didn't know how to play it. I don't know. That's just anybody. There's a couple of teams you give guys passes with. The Jets are one of those. The Raiders are one. You might argue Cleveland with Stefanski.
Yep.
That are just so dysfunctional. But I don't know. I think it's good to see him get more opportunities to get an interview. But I would say that's 101 shot.
I agree. All right, we're coming back. Speaking of Cleveland, we're heading there. Ken Carmen from 92.3, The Fan, will join us. He does stuff for Fox up there, covers the Browns, and has for a very long time. What's the deal with Stefanski? We're about to find out on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Want to remind you, Tuesday, we're talking about the college football postseason because it'll be over. But we're going to be broadcasting live from Twin Peaks in Kennesaw on a Tuesday. Join us from 2 to 6. Enjoy all the food, drink, scenic views of Twin Peaks as we wrap up all of the year's college football action. By the way, portal closes today, okay? We're going to get Mike Griffith on to talk a little bit about this, but we'll get what this potentially could look like for the Dogs and other SEC teams as well. So that's on the way. But Tuesday, 2 to 6, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're chasing down our buddy Ken Carmen. We'll talk to him in just a bit. Mike just said something to me that made my mouth open because I was like, really?
Yeah, Albert Breer put this out earlier today. He still has this link to Kubiak and Stefanski, but also said, if Matt LaFleur was available. Now, this is interesting. Is Matt LaFleur's agent now asking for too much in their renegotiation after what John Harbaugh just reset the market? And just, I'm just, just spidey sense, just spitballing. But Albert Breer said, could the Packers trade Matt LaFleur and would the Falcons be interested? Now, we'd have no first round and no second round pick, and I'd have a hard time with that unless you feel that Matt LaFleur is transformative and will immediately take this team to another level, that you don't worry about not having that second rounder. I mean, you'd probably have to give they want a first rounder from next year.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden, wait a minute, now we're chipping away at the building blocks. Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't either. Look, as much as I love Tomlin, I said the same thing about the idea if he was in the game that I did not want to trade for Mike Tomlin. And now if this plays out in Green Bay, I'm with you. I don't like that idea. I love LaFleur, but I don't want to give away all that.
We need a time machine. Have Dan Quinn hire him in 17 instead of Sarkisi in the offense. Never would have skipped the beat.
It's true.
We might have won the freaking Super Bowl, Carl.
I know.
Probably not.
Hey, man, let's talk to Ken Carmen. He does a terrific job and has for many years. 92.3, The Fan in Cleveland. Fox 8 up there, covers the Browns. Ken Carmen, man, it's good to have you on the show. I think a lot of Falcon fans continue to hear Kevin Stefanski's name, so we wanted to get some insight into your opinions on his tenure there with the Browns. We know why it came to an end, but how do you become two-time coach of the year and never really accomplish the goals at hand? Is it a testament to how good this guy is?
I think so. I don't know. Abe Gordon loaded my mind up a little bit. So I kind of got a question. Are people upset with the record and because he's coming from the Browns, is that it?
Yes.
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 I'd be one of those guys. You got to sell me on this, Ken.
Hey, that's fair. Our record's blamed right on us, so I can understand that. I ain't going to yell at you. We won a lot of football games here over the last 6 years, but, there were two good years. I think for Kevin, the reason it didn't work out is because you traded for a quarterback who can't stay healthy, and when he was healthy, wasn't very good anymore. That's basically what it was. I mean, most guys, except for like Kyle Shanahan and maybe a couple of others, they're kind of bound by their quarterback. And that's not a slight at Brock Purdy, obviously, but it's like, if you get a really good one, you got a good chance. If you don't, you're going to be under the rate. You're going to be under the gun to get it going. And I think that that's what happened with Kevin. And I think over time, the defense has been a good defense, especially the last 3 years. Two out of the last 3 years, they've been one of the elite defenses. And I think over time, that really started to bother a lot of players. And so it just wasn't, I think, a situation that was going to work for either side. I looked at it as more of a mutual parting of ways. I mean, we fired a lot of coaches up here, and I've not really seen a lot of statements passed out with the team in the same press release as the owners and general manager and everybody. So I think it had to be a firing. You know, you can't just walk away from that money. But I think it was more, you know, he's got a chance to go do something else somewhere else. And the Browns, they kind of wanted to move on and maybe tweak that offense and get that locker room back on track there, because I think that there was, I'm not going to say a scapegoat, 8-26 over the last couple of years. You're a head coach of the NFL. You're a big boy. But I think that it was probably time for everybody to make a change.
Ken Carman from the land filling us in, man, on Stefanski. He's the man up there in Cleveland here on the WadeFord.com hotline. We've got a meddling owner who says he doesn't meddle. And I presume it is.
I don't meddle.
I don't meddle. Where'd you hear that? Haslam a meddler? Because we wanted Deshaun Watson. We had no shot at it, no money, no cap room. And it basically alienated Matt Ryan. And you guys wound up with the booby prize. But is Haslam a meddler?
Any owner who's a fan is a meddler. And most of them are fans. So, right. Yeah, he'll get involved. But it's one of them things, man, like, When the team was good for the 2 years that they were good, everybody loved the owner. You know, people were thankful that the what he did and where they were at and all that stuff. And then things go to hell, and then all of a sudden he's meddling again. Well, so people want him to get involved, and they don't want him to get involved. I'll tell you right now. Now, I think that there's been times where he has been really, really, really hands-on, and I think that he's been sensitive to that criticism. And I think that sometimes, this is not. How long's Arthur Blank on the Falcons?
Since 2002.
Okay, so a long time. He's owned them 10 years longer than what Jimmy Haslam has owned the Cleveland Browns, just over 10 years. I think that for Jimmy, he was kind of led down a bad path with some of the people that he hired. And they say that was arranged marriage by the NFL, and I think that made him very paranoid with the football team of when to take it over. He did. He made a good, concerted effort to try to stay out of those affairs over the last 6 years and to just kind of ride it and see what the success was. Because I know he thinks – I know that he has a reputation around the league to have a quick trigger, and he left them in there for another year. He tried to make it work with Hugh Jackson for another year because he doesn't – I don't think he likes that moniker at all. And I think he wants to be – kind of like the Steelers are and kind of like the Ravens have been up until this year. It's hard to do. It's really hard to do because he's still a person who's obsessed with quarterbacks and still an ownership that's obsessed with him, and they've done some crazy things to go out and get him. So that makes it a little bit more difficult as time goes on. But, yeah, I mean, he's going to meddle just as much as I think 95% of the owners meddle. I really don't think he's any crazier when it comes to meddling than some of the other ones. I don't think he's Jerry Jones, if that's the question. I don't think he's anywhere near Jerry.
It is Ken Carman joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He's up there in Cleveland, 92.3 The Fan again. Fox 8 guys, covers the Browns and all things Cleveland. Ken, how much effect did Andrew Berry have on this with Kevin Stefanski? Because I've wondered, how the hell he still got a job?
I was surprised, too, because I thought it messes up the timelines. I think that this last draft that Andrew had, which was really a really good draft, I think that kind of saved Andrew. It is talked about around the league. I think personally, and I've had some people corroborate this, where I think Andrew had the idea because the Baker in 2021, things were not going well. There was some infighting. There was some problems with teammates there. And we started to hear in October of that year that they were kind of snooping around down in Houston. And I didn't like it. I didn't want to bring in Deshaun Watson. That said, I didn't think that Baker Mayfield was going to be the savior or anything like that. I thought we were in a real bind. I know from a lot of people that I've talked to that Andrew spearheaded to go after Deshaun Watson. But then it was Jimmy who obviously felt that they had the point of no, they'd reached the point of no return. So he's the one who guaranteed it. Afterwards, after Baker certainly did not have any intention to play for the Browns anymore. And I think that part of that history has played into it where he believes that Andrew is a good football man. And I do believe that Andrew has made some mistakes, but has obviously gotten better as time has gone on and has made some right decisions. And I think that he doesn't want to move on from people and be left alone holding the bag, looking around the NFL for people that he trusts. And I think he trusts Andrew, and I think that that's obviously something that's very important to him, because I just don't think he ever wants to have that feeling again of when he bought the team, having to blow out people and then starting with this kind of a range thing with the NFL, having to blow them out and bringing in Corn Ferry and all the other ones to try to help him out and making things even worse.
Right. Hey, guys, if you're just tuning in, it's Ken Carmen. He's from 92.3 The Fan, our sister station in Cleveland, Fox 8 News up there. We want to get some background on Kevin Stefanski because his name keeps cropping up with the Falcons, and now that Harbaugh has been knocked out of the box. Ken, explain the Shedeur Sanders signing and how that played out. And did Stefanski want any part of Shedeur Sanders?
I don't know if the organization really wanted Shedeur Sanders at all until it got to the fifth round, and I think that they look at it and they go, well, what the hell? And maybe, well, what the hell wasn't the best look at things. Because I did not believe on Friday night before the draft that they had, or before the third day of the draft when they took him, they had any intention of taking Shedeur. Now, they had taken Dylan Gabriel. I think that was a quarterback that everybody thought that they liked there. I don't know what they saw. No offense to Dylan, but I don't think that he's a project. I think that he's kind of maybe a career backup, if that. But there's a ceiling there with Shedeur that's higher, I think, than Dylan Gabriel. And then when you bring in four quarterbacks, and you have a fifth-round guy, I'd say put him behind the eight ball, but it's not like you have a real chance. So I don't think that the quarterback situation was handled particularly well. And then I think that his hand was forced. I think that he did not want to play Shedeur. And then, honestly, I think that he was probably a little bit surprised by how well. And if you look at charts and you look at all the measurables and all the things that they've done throughout this year, it would be right in the face of what I'm saying here. But I think that he was probably a little bit surprised he looked better than what he thought he was going to. I thought it was going to be an out-and-out disaster. And the numbers would say it wasn't good. It wasn't good. But I don't think it was anywhere near some of the disasters that we've seen before. Now, I don't mean that Shedeur is the franchise, not by a long shot. I think they're going to explore ways to upgrade the position this offseason. But I think that because Shedeur played well enough, it kind of set in motion, well, what if they would have played him earlier? What if they would have done things earlier? And then I think that, again, it was one of the two had to go, and I think that Kevin had probably had enough, and Andrew had not had enough, so he was willing to move on with Andrew Berry.
Ken, as we talk about Kevin Stefanski, what would you tell Falcon fans if, in fact, he was to get the job? What kind of guy are we getting? What kind of coach would you say that, in your experience in dealing with him? Because it's hard to look through these losses, and fans just look past that when you're not in a city where it's going on.
Well, first off, Kevin is a bad press conference. And especially when things weren't good this year, he starts to say the same thing over again because you're just trying to get through the press conference because you don't want to throw anybody under the bus. He is not a good press conference, and if things aren't going well, you guys are going to get very mad about that. However, he's one of the – I think Kevin is one of the best people I've ever been around. It's weird is where I had a boss, Andy, who's down there, and he brought me in, and then we got the Browns rights, and I've had a lot of football coaches sit across from me, and I've gotten along with most of them. Kevin is – definitely one of the best people I think I've ever met in the NFL. And we've had a lot of them come through over the last 14 years. I think that he's a strong enough-willed man. I don't think he throws anybody under the bus. I think he's a much better team-first person than anybody wants to give him credit for. The stuff about him sabotaging Shedeur and not liking Shedeur, I think that is completely false. Completely false. I think that I wonder about times of his offense. I wonder if he's come along enough or if it really is just, hey, we have no talent on this offense, and we're seeing that right now. That's one of the things that I wonder. But if you were to hire him, I think you're getting one of the finest men I've ever come across in the NFL. And I think that he'd be somebody that if you're able to turn it around, I think that he'd be a major part of, and I think he'd be a coach that you'd be very proud to call your coach.
So that's great. That's why we got John, Ken, to get the lowdown. One last question for you, and this is maybe semantics. You think he'd be cool coming into a situation like Atlanta if he was hired, that we've already got a ready-made defensive coordinator in Jeff Ulbrich, who was a really good D.C. We got some real fire breathers on defense. Would he see a guy that would say, I'd work with that, or he'd want to put his own staff together?
Oh, I think so. That's another thing. I'm glad you brought that up. I don't think that I think he wants to put somebody in charge of defense and let them run the defense. So we had Joe Woods for a number of years, and things got really bad, and I think he got pretty annoyed that he had to pay more attention to the defense. Jim Schwartz has ran that defense, and he's basically been the head coach of that defense for a long time. I think that, and really with his coaches, I think he's loyal to a fault. I mean, they had to move on from Alex Van Pelt. I don't think he wanted to let go Alex Van Pelt at all a few years ago. I think that was more of the Watson fallout, where we were trying to tailor the team to Deshaun Watson and his needs, which definitely did not work, absolutely didn't work. I've been critical of Bubba Ventrone, his special teams coordinator. I did not like that Bubba Ventrone kind of blamed the roster instead of, like, this is your job. You got to get them from point A to point B some way possible. And what I'm hearing that in press conferences, I didn't like what I heard. And Kevin did not throw him under the bus, remained supportive of him. I think that coaches really like working with Kevin. I don't think it's a work for thing. And I'll tell you, I think that he collaborates very well with some of his guys. And I'm not sure, how old is Jeff Ulbrich, by the way? Is he older than Kevin? Kevin's 43.
I believe he is. I believe he's in his late 40s. Yeah.
He's very good at leaning on guys who have more experience. He got a world of help from his offensive line coach, Bill Callahan, when he first started here, and really leaned on him. And Bill Callahan obviously has a world of experience there. He's just very good, I think, at working with his assistant coaches. And I don't think he'd have any problem if Arthur Blank and those players were like, hey, well, this is our DC. We like this guy. You know, we can get this thing going here. I think Kevin might have an idea who he wants or what he wants to do, but I think at the same time he'd certainly be open to that, and I think that he would not have any sort of a problem whatsoever of keeping him and working with him.
Ken, before we let you go, great job, by the way, as always. Ken Carman, guys, 92.3 The Fan. Who the hell are you guys going to get?
Oh, boy, that's a hell of a question. Well, because, the thing is, like, I don't think they're going to win many games next year either. I think they can win 5-6 games next year.
Wow.
And so if you take a guy, like, I'm trying to think big picture here. And so it makes me kind of crazy. I'm going, all right, this Grant Yudinski, who's 30 years old from Jacksonville, if they win 6 games next year, Andrew might go, but he sure as hell ain't going to go. Okay, so we don't have to worry about that anymore. So that kind of gives me a little bit of a runway for him. I like Jim Schwartz. I think that he's a name that half the fans might kind of be whatever with, and I think that half the fans would be really excited about. I think Mike McDaniel, if they were to hire him, and I think that he's the most likely candidate, to be honest with you guys, I think I would predict him. I just gave you the two guys that I like, and I know that they're kind of on the complete opposite ends. Mike McDaniel's a nice guy, and we had him here in 2014, and I know he was going through some personal things and some demons that he has exercised, and he's come out on the other end. What is going to be tough is that, I don't think they're going to win very many games, so I think I'm going to hear a lot of jokes about capri pants and sunglasses on a Monday morning, and I'm going to be pretty annoyed by that. So that's – because, hey, you guys know this. I'm a conduit to the fans, so I got to feel what the fans are feeling.
Yeah,
and guys can roll their eyes on that and go, hey, that doesn't make a good football coach. Yeah, well, you know what? To the guy who was at the bar watching the game in Berea yesterday, it does mean something to that guy, and I kind of don't want to be annoyed by that with that guy as well. So – hey, you go out and you win the AFC. You win the AFC North. You win any. You wear any type of pants you want. You can wear kilt if you want. But until then, people are going to be calling me up about it.
They're critical, Ken. Great work, man. Enjoy the weekend, brother. We appreciate you as always, Ken Carman. Thanks so much.
You guys as well. Thank you.
That's great intel.
We got to talk about what he said, and we are. We're going to come back. We'll give you our picks. We will discuss what he had to say about Kevin Stefanski. You heard it right here. Doesn't mean Stefanski's going to get the job. What we are doing, guys, is giving you a preview of all these potential candidates as we talk about who the Falcons may end up going with. We are live at the Gateway Center in Stukes and Bell.
It's almost time. We will get to the picks, but we got to react to what our buddy Ken up in Cleveland, Ken Carman, who does Morning Drive and does TV in the afternoons, was saying about Kevin Stefanski, who, again, is linked to us. It is Kevin Stefanski. You're hearing a lot still about Clint Kubiak, but obviously with Harbaugh knocked out of the box with the Giants, now we're starting to get down to the nitty-gritty. Carl and I were just talking off the air about You know, and I'm glad I asked about Ulbrich. If you missed it, Ken Carman says he thinks for sure, Carl, he'd be down with that. And he gave us the lowdown on what this guy's about. Because, as we said, face value, under 500, you know, unimpressive at times, but some of the circumstances beyond his control based with the talent.
Yeah, Mike, and look, we've covered a lot of losing ourselves here lately.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard as these coaches start losing to give the message that they'd like to give. And so I'm not going to kill Kevin Stefanski when he says, hey, it got hard at the end. It's hard all the time at the end when right. you're losing and you're not winning games and going to playoffs. But I thought the interesting thing he said is obviously about the offense, the ability to, that he's a team guy, he wants to build culture. And then, you know, he talked about, look, Mike, we take this for granted, but I don't think that's the case for Arthur Blank, and I don't think it's the case for Matt Ryan. What kind of guy are you? Well, what are you about?
Right.
And when he talks about, you know, Ken's done this a long time too. He's been around a lot of coaches, and like, hey, he's one of the best guys I've ever been around. I think that kind of stuff goes a long way. But at the end of the day, what we want here in the A is a guy that's going to come in here and win games, and can he turn this offense into what it needs to be? But he also has to be, and I think he used the word, we both looked at each other, collaborative with this situation, because you're walking into a situation where they may say to you what you said, we got your guy on defense, don't worry about it. You're cool with it. Yes. Okay. We need to go get a special teams coordinator. You fill in the blanks with all this other stuff. Quarterbacks coach, running backs, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Stefanski says, I got you. But I think the question is, let's not judge him solely on the losing. I think Ken Carman said it. He lost because the owner overreached, and then you had a quarterback that was hurt and could not play,
right.
and you are trying to fill the void.
It would have been – you know, it's funny. We went for Deshaun Watson, and we had the same result
as
the Browns.
That's
and
right.
if we had Deshaun, we'd have the same situation here. So,
and he had two good seasons, even out of that BS.
Right. And again, if you go back, it's hard to remember how good Deshaun Watson was as a rookie. First, before he had that knee injury, and then later on, I mean, this guy was a baller. He was doing everything you'd want. Remember, I wrote I did do this. 2015, I wrote a blog saying, Matt Ryan's never going to win anything here. Let's go get Deshaun Watson. I think it's Deshaun stayed in school.
Yes, he
won
did.
Won a natty with Clemson.
Yes, he did.
But it's just, at the time, I was frustrated. But, yeah, now you look at Stefanski. It's going to be a hard sell for the fan base. I know a lot of folks will be lukewarm on Stefanski. You know, it's not exactly people going, ooh, we got another guy who's under 500 for his career off the heels of Raheem Morris.
All right, so I'm glad you brought that up, because I looked at this today, and I just want to point this out to Falcon fans. Because I'm like, when you start looking at the potential candidates, and we use this term, Mike, retread. I don't know if it's fair. I do think retreads or coaches that have been coaches in the NFL get a chance to learn from their mistakes, hopefully. And then when they get a new shot, you've learned enough that you're going to correct those mistakes and not make them again. But if I said to you guys, Vance Joseph, Matt Nagy, Mike McDaniel, Cliff Kingsbury, this is the group, guys.
Right.
Raheem Morris.
First time losers.
Arthur Smith.
Right.
Jim Schwartz, okay? Brian Flores, are you getting excited? Do you feel me here? These are the names we're dealing with. These names aren't going to change, partly
right.
because these are the guys who are experienced, who've been in it, and teams are going to go, he might be our guy. But the point about this whole, you know, we've been here and he's done that, all these guys are in the same spot. Steve Spagnuolo, Jason Garrett, guys, is getting interviews.
Yeah, I mean, that's
okay.
Give you an idea. And somebody's going to get stuck with some of these booby prizes when you consider eight jobs out there. The next question is, are the Packers purposefully slow-rolling their contract negotiations with Matt LaFleur?
This is very interesting.
Which could alienate him, and then all of a sudden, we're going to trade you, coach, and they're going to look to continue to restock the defensive side. But the problem for us is I don't want to start moving all, as we said, foundational pieces. We don't have a first-rounder. We're happy with Pierce, just the facts. Second-rounders, although we've blown most of them, are big. You can't just throw those things away.
No.
And they may want a first-rounder for next year's draft.
That second-round pick should still be a major contributor to your team. And look,
right.
we drafted four defensive dudes this year. All of them showed up. Billy Bowman got hurt, but he was balling his
right
butt
on.
Off.
Watts is a rookie. It could be a defensive rookie of the year. The thing is, though, I mean, if Penix Jr. doesn't pan out, I cannot not have a first-round pick for the following year.
You're right.
So that's where LaFleur gets all of a sudden too pricey.
For me, too. Look, you may say whatever it takes. I'm not willing to go there to start giving up future first-round picks when, again, our quarterback situation is in flux. And I know that bothers some of you. I'm not going to use the word Mike has broken with the quarterback situation.
Room for improvement.
That's what we're saying.
I say broken.
And there is room for improvement. There's room for improvement. But I can't do that, Mike. And by the way, next year's draft at the quarterback position gets really interesting. So even though we don't have one this year, next year going in the spring of 27, that gets really interesting. 404-726-0929. I know we're up against it. We'll push our picks to the 5 o'clock hour because we're reacting to Ken Carmen and what he had to tell us in regards to Kevin Stefanski. So we'll push our picks into the 5 o'clock hour.
I want to do them now before these lines start moving.
Would you stop?
You sound like Day-Day. No, we just found out that Brandon Cooks is out.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Remember I was reaching for the name?
We don't have – yes,
well, they'll be reaching for another wide receiver because he ain't there.
We don't have time to get into these picks
we need to.
We
can knock this out in 30 seconds.
We got Mike Griffith coming up. He's going to talk about the portal.
I want to lock this in before the number moves.
And college football, by the way, Nico Collins is after the Texans, too.
Nico Collins just got ruled out, too.
I said Buffalo. Sorry, Nico Collins for the Texans.
Nico Collins.
I said Brandon Cooks. Nico Collins. Cooks is okay. Nico Collins is out.
Well, that's a big one. That's a huge – that's a 1,000-yard receiver for them. Also, we got Steve Koenig coming up. But look, we'll do this at 5:20. We got time. And, Mike, if you want to lock it in now, do you want to lock that in now since you're so worried that in the next hour it's going to change?
Now, again, forget about it. I got my
It's only three, Mike. It's only three.
Forget it. I'm fine.
Okay,
I'm fine.
Good.
I do have a play, though. I do think the Broncos-Bills goes under. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay,
going under.
All right. Look, we're going to pick two NFL games based on the schedule, guys. All of us are going to pick one thing from the national championship game. So we are all going to be in on that because, again, it's the last game of the college football season. So we'll all get in on that. All right, 404-726-0929. You have a thought or two. You heard Ken Carmen. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Guys,
on
the text line, Carl, are lukewarm, to put it mildly.
Fair enough. Fair.
Over Kevin Stefanski, a couple of guys hitting us up on Twitter. Carl has put them up. C-Dukes, I'm Mike Bell, ATL. Guy says, that's a hard no, Jonathan Walker, for Stefanski. Another guy says, this is Raheem 2.0, says Billy. So, I mean, again, because the stigma, Carl, of what we just tried to hammer out the truth from what is untrue about Kevin Stefanski, he's still associated with a losing record.
Y'all see why I wanted Harbaugh? I'm just telling you, when you start talking about all these other potential candidates, and I'm giving you the names, and it's no disrespect to any of them, they may be and probably will flourish in whatever situation they end up in.
Right.
But none of these names jump off the page at you and you go, dude, if we don't get him, we're out of this. Again, Nagy, Saleh, Vance Joseph, Mike McCarthy. Mike, we've both said, I'm not interested, and he's getting interviews. It's one of the situations where this coaching cycle, the guy was.
I know.
That guy, and he's gone.
What did Sean Connery say in The Untouchables? If it's a rotten barrel, get it off the tree. That gets us back to Stefanski. I should say to Kubiak, not Stefanski.
Yeah. Kubiak, and I did not mention his name here, but you talk about guys that have coached in the NFL.
What was your name before you changed it?
All of these guys have. And by the way, most of the guys we're looking at, Mike, are mid-40s, early 40s.
Right.
I mean, most of them. Outside of, obviously, the Harbaugh thing, he was in his 60s. But everybody else is 40, mid-40s to 50s.
Kubiak now, all of a sudden, pressure's on him to land this next big job, and he's going to have to do it without a healthy Sam Darnold against the 49ers.
Yeah, man. All right, plenty more to get to. Your thoughts are welcome. We're coming back. College football, the portal closes today. We'll talk to Mike Griffith next.